Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of Banca Transilvania. At our customer's request, this conference will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulty seeing the conference, please press star key followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Mihail Nădășan, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Hello everybody, and thank you for joining us for the conference call with regard to the third quarter results. I am joined during this call, as usual, by our CEO, Ömer Tetik, just that he has to be in another city today, and in order to avoid any kind of unclear, let's say, phone quality, we prefer to have the conference call organized from Cluj by George Călirescu, our CFO, and by myself. As you have most probably already seen our press release from last week, the third quarter was a very good quarter for Banca Transilvania, and we will definitely come with additional details during this conference call and also trying to answer all the questions you are going to have today, or you might send over to us in the coming days and weeks. You are also familiar with the previous quarterly financial releases. We have also this time uploaded on our website the presentation having some details with regard to how Romania as a whole was having the behavior during the first more or less half a year, and for certain ratios, we have also statistics closer to nowadays, how the banking sector was having the evolution, and then with more details with regard to what Banca Transilvania was achieving during the third quarter of the year. If you have the chance to open our presentation, which is on our website in the presentation section with the third quarter Q3 item in the title, there on page three, you can see how you can find some details with regard to the banking sector dynamics. We were having also during 2019 two quarters in which, despite the fact that we were having all the uncertainties at the beginning of the year with regard to all the regulatory changes in Romania, the banking sector was having a quite decent evolution with growth when it comes to the total assets, even though when it comes to the GDP growth, clearly this ratio was not growing in the same aggressive pace as last year. When it comes to the quality of the banking assets, the trend which started to be seen in the last 1.5 years with, let's say, continuing the improvement of this ratio and more or less with the level of the NPE ratio at around 4.5-4.6%, which is a level we consider that most probably will remain stable for the next couple of quarters. So with an NPE ratio somewhere between 4-4.5%, it is to be considered that the banking sector in Romania is more or less in a decent shape and with the right quality of the balance sheet of the banks. In terms of growth drivers for the banking sector during 2019, throughout the sector, clearly on the liability side, the deposits were having a quite nice growth. And the entire banking sector is enjoying very good liquidity, a little bit too good, as this is the case also for Banca Transilvania and for the sector as a whole as well. When it comes to the asset side, the corporate loans were the ones having the fastest growth pace for the first 9 months of this year, but retail loans were also growing, not in an aggressive pace, but more or less with a decent growth, both like housing and consumer loans. In terms of currency, as that was the case also for the last 2-3 years, when interest rates in local currency were very similar to the ones in foreign currencies, KB new production was done mainly in local currency, so that nowadays the stake of local currency loans is representing the majority of the banking loans portfolio. In terms of currency risk, we were having a quite stable exchange risk, exchange rate risk, and from this perspective, we are not anticipating high volatility when it comes to the exchange rate also for the period to come. Therefore, in terms of estimations, when it comes to the quality of the loan book structure in general in the country, we may say that irrespective of the currency in which the loans are currently booked in the banking sector in Romania, the quality and the behavior of the exposures is going to be rather similar than facing very different kind of behavior. When it comes to the macro development in general, most probably everybody is already knowing that the GDP had a certain slowdown during the first quarter of this year, and that Romania is definitely facing a twin deficit which it has to handle, especially as we are now coming, let's say, to the final part of the year, and definitely there are different measures to be taken in order to make sure that to a certain extent these imbalances are going to be either corrected or well kept under control. As you also most probably know, there was a change when it comes to the government of the country. We are having a new government in place for a couple of weeks. And, well, without being extremely optimistic, what we have to mention is that we have received quite important signs that the government is very keen on trying and developing a good cooperation with the banking sector, with the Central Bank of Romania. There are clearly ongoing discussions between the Central Bank of Romania and the Finance Ministry in order to work together and to jointly put the efforts in order to better manage the state budget in order to keep the two deficits as good as possible under control. Also, we are anticipating that let's say, preparation of next year's parliamentary elections, investment projects and the pace in which such investment projects are going to be presented and proposed to happen when it comes to specifically the infrastructure of the country is going to continue at a reasonable pace, and that the trend we were noticing over the last couple of months is going to continue also for the next 6 to 9 months. Important factors when it comes to the GDP growth, clearly everything related to services, agriculture, but also industrial output. So more or less we can say that throughout the GDP structure, there are several areas which are contributing to the growth in the country. Well, that would be more or less a short snapshot when it comes to what's happening in the banking sector in general and macroeconomic-wise when it comes to Romania. If we are coming to Banca Transilvania and the results we were having for the end of 9 months of this year, it is important to mention that what was very important for the bank management and what we would like to emphasize is the fact that the operational income, the operational profit of the bank was achieved and was slightly above the budget, while the overall bottom line was significantly above the budget. Clearly, we were benefiting from very good results when it comes to the way in which we were handling the portfolio, the debit portfolio of the bank, and definitely benefiting from the quality and the behavior of our loan book. looking at slide number 10 in our presentation, there you might see that when it comes to both net interest income, net fee and commission income, the growth was quite substantial. Important to mention that last year, at the end of September, compared to this year when we are looking at individual figures, we have a very big difference, meaning that Bancpost last year was just consolidated, while this year we are having it included in our financials. So it is important in order to have, let's say, the clean picture to look better at the consolidated figures when it comes to the way in which we were having the evolution when it comes to the net interest income and fee and commission income for the first 9 months of this year versus last year. Important to mention that even though from a liquidity perspective and the level of deposits from customers, we are enjoying a significant level of liquidity, meaning that we are forced somehow to handle a much larger amount of money than we were, than it would be, let's say, efficient compared to the asset side of the bank. But nevertheless, we were able to keep the net interest margin stable, even though, we have more resources than let's say, needed in order to have just decent liquidity ratios. Here we have to emphasize the fact that Banca Transilvania is a very important player when it comes to the overall cash management in the country, that we are having a significant market share when it comes to the overall clearing in the country, settlement with state budget, transactions between customers. All of this bringing a significant amount of money in current accounts held with Banca Transilvania at zero interest rates, which are not creating interest rate expenses, but which are in the end contributing at the overall income base of the bank, with larger number of transactions, higher fee and commission income, given the fact that the number of transactions which are routed from through our account are continuously growing in DT. In terms of the cost of risk, here we were mentioning a couple of times that every time we are preparing the yearly budget, we are looking at the average cost of risk, which would be throughout an economic cycle, and we intend to achieve a certain profitability for the bank while having the cost of risk considered somewhere around 100 basis points. Last year and this year, clearly, considering the way in which the overall economy was having the evolution, the real estate market when it comes to collateral evaluation, the repayment behavior of clients, both company and retail clients, have improved significantly, plus that we were having also recoveries from previously written off loans. All in all, even though the cost of risk as a gross expense was somewhere also for the third quarter around 70 basis points, which was more or less the level also for the last 1 year and a half, the overall cost of risk, including all the recoveries, was in the end for the first 9 months of this year just a little bit above zero, meaning that just a marginal kind of expense was booked this year in terms of provision. However, we are definitely conservative in the way in which we are looking at the bank's performance, and clearly we are, let's say, organizing our entire activity and we are focusing on those products and services which are able to ensure the bank's operational profitability level, so that whatever is coming as lower cost of risk items are in the end contributing just to exceeding the budget we are promising in front of our shareholders. In terms of the NPL ratio and of the NPE ratio, Banca Transilvania is also at the end of the third quarter at very similar levels to those for as of mid of this year, with PAR 90 at 3.13% and with the EBA NPE ratio at 4.6%, coverage ratios in terms of provisions being kept stable throughout the entire year. When it comes to the capital of the bank, clearly we have to take into account the way in which we should manage from a strategic perspective the level of capital in the bank, taking into account the fact that the years to come will mean both additional requirements in terms of MREL requirements, but also we do not intend to sit on an inefficient structure of equity, making sure that we are delivering the expected return on equity to our shareholders. So more or less, we definitely want to continue to the extent regulators and shareholders are going to, well, regulators will not request and shareholders will approve, we'll continue with the dividend payout policy we were having for the last 2 years. But this is something which in the end is going to be confirmed once we are going to see the end of the year results, and further to those results we are definitely going to come with a proposal to be discussed by the bank's shareholders. Looking at the income statement of the bank, clearly it is important to mention that we were seeing growth when it comes to the net interest income, really connected to the organic growth of the bank, net interest margin being stable throughout the year. We were seeing a very nice growth when it comes to the fee and commission income of the bank, here having a significant contribution coming from the overall number of transactions which are routed through our accounts. We were having better than anticipating net trading income. This is also, again, like a confirmation that the way in which we are managing our CBS portfolio proved to be correct over the last couple of years. Besides the good results which are booked in the P&L of the bank, we are also enjoying a quite substantial amount of reserves in the equity coming from the revaluation of this portfolio. Clearly, the entire activity in that area is targeted to not only have current good results, but to be in a position to offer and to come for the bank's overall financial results with stable contributions coming from this portfolio. So to make sure that we are not creating any kind of imbalances to our P&L with when it comes to our investment in state Romanian state bonds. When it comes to the operating expenses, important to mention that if we are looking at the consolidated figures where we are more or less which are more or less the comparable kind of item, we are seeing that in general, operating expenses have been kept under control during the first 9 months of this year. Clearly, we are continuing with the investments we were mentioning when it comes to all the digital platforms of the bank, trying to make sure that we are investing in technology in order to make sure that internally we have the right structures and the right systems in place in order to be able to properly process the increasing number of transactions through our accounts, and also when it comes to the interaction with clients, that we are delivering the expected experiences to them. So in that area, we are definitely going to continue with investment. And as you were able to see in our press release, there were significant increases when it comes to the number of users, both with regard to mobile banking, with regard to our payment application, wallet application, Apple Pay. So all these areas were recording significant growth in the last 3 months. So this is an area where clearly the development and the way in which the bank has to continue investment is a quite accelerated one. In terms of other expenses and incomes, just in order to provide some or to come with some additional details, this year we were not having one-off. Last year we were having one-off linked to some tax items coming from Bancpost, and those were booked both as an income due to the way in which the SPA with the sellers of Bancpost were awarded, and also the expense. So more or less net effect on the bottom line was zero, but there was volatility in terms of items booked as other income and other expenses for 2018. In 2019, we don't have that item anymore. If we would go through the presentation, you are going to find on slide number 12 some details with regard to the structure of our loan book, half of it being loans to households, half companies. In the companies, the European definition of SME customers are representing, in fact, more than 95% of all our company clients. In terms of currency structure, we are keeping the same weight we were having previously, with around 70% local currency, 30% foreign currency. In terms of the NPL ratio, again, like the ratio relatively stable for the last couple of quarters, just above 3%, and with the same kind of coverage ratio in terms of both cash provisions and collateral related to those portfolios. In terms of deposits, the same, again, no changes compared to the overall structure of the resources in DT for the last couple of quarters. The majority of the funds coming from households, but also with a quite decent contribution of company clients, mainly when it comes to current accounts opened with DT. Then you can find, starting with slide 15, some details with regard to the way in which our business lines were having the evolution over the last couple of months. Very important to mention when it comes to the retail segment that we have, in terms of active cards, a market share of about 22% with around 4 million active cards. So we are clearly one of the most, in fact, number one and a very important player when it comes to the card business in the country. When it comes to SME clients defined according to our internal definition, here we are serving around 300,000 clients. Again, a quite important market share when it comes to the total number of active SME companies in the country, somewhere above 20%, in fact, like closer to 30% of all active SME clients in Romania. For the corporate banking sector, here it's important to mention that we continued our sectorial specialization, trying to set up better prepared teams in order to deal with very specific sectors, so that we can become a more important player in these areas as well. But we are not switching from our main focus from retail and SMEs, only that given the size of the bank, we definitely have to be an important player in this larger corporate segment as well. Our previous focus when it comes to agriculture, medical sector, IT services is continuing, so more or less we are not changing the strategic approach we were having from starting with the last couple of years when it comes to the businesses we would like to support and where we would like to be active players. On slide 18, you are finding some details with regards to the group structure. No changes there, so we continue to be active in leasing, asset management, capital market, consumer finance, microfinance results for all our subsidiaries are very good. They were having an important contribution when it comes to the overall profitability of the bank. Forgot to mention previously Victoria Bank, our subsidiary in the Republic of Moldova, where we are having, the behavior of the bank there is as anticipated. For the last 1 year and a half, we were sending there our people, we were putting in place our regulations, we were building up a sales force, making sure that we are definitely knowing well the market and that we are having the right approach when it comes to that geography. Clearly, also there, our focus is SME and retail clients. I'm not sure if I was able to cover all the very relevant topics for our presentation today, but most probably this would be the most important items to be highlighted. Happy to listen to your questions and trying to come with specific answers linked to the areas where you are interested to find more information for.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question for our speaker, please dial 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment, please, for the first question. The first question is from Catalin Diacono, Raiffeisen. Your line is open.
Hello. So I have two questions. The first one would be if you can tell us a bit more about the one-offs in the cost of risk in the third quarter. The second one would be why did personnel expenses decline quarter on quarter, and what's the new run rate, or was it just a one-off? And the third question would be, what is the current guidance for loan growth this year? I mean, you already are above 6%, and in the budget you have 7%. So, would you increase your guidance given the current performance of the bank? And that's about it for now. Thank you.
Okay. So when it comes to the cost of risk, there we can say that there was a certain item contributing in a significant way to the cost of risk behavior. It was coming from several items which were adding on to a larger amount of releases of provisions, plus some decent recoveries coming from written off exposures. Clearly, we can't say that there are we were not selling any kind of NPL portfolio. So it's just the ongoing kind of activity when it comes to the way in which we are managing our loan book, and the loan book is having the behavior. When it comes, I'm going to answer the third one, which is then connected to the cost of risk. When it comes to the loan growth, what we were mentioning until now, also in previous calls, was that we are not, we prefer to see how the fourth quarter is also having the evolution. As you know, in terms of budget, we were forecasting a growth of around 7%. So a growth rate between 7 and 8%, potentially higher than that on specific sectors, could be considered, but it's not like a must. Definitely, we are not going to stop the engine. We are going to continue lending, and if the quality of the loan request is going to be considered appropriate by us, definitely we will continue the lending process. But we can't say that we are changing the targeted final amount for the year. More or less, a growth between 7 and 8. Is going to be the figure which is to be achieved by us. When it comes to the personal expenses, when it comes to the second quarter there we were having some regulations when there were a couple of one-offs related to the yearly bonuses for 2018 results. So in general, if you would be considering, you should consider the expenses, the staff expenses, like the average throughout the year, because on a yearly basis, to the extent the bank is having or is delivering similar kind of results, such bonuses are to be expected for next year as well. So some of them are amortized and they are considered throughout the year, but there were also some items which were booked in the second quarter.
Understood.
Hope I have answered your question.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Heather Lefort. Concur, your line is open.
Hi, thanks for the presentation.
Please, yeah, please.
Sure. Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, so I'm really moment, and are you planning to tap the bond market? The capital on that side, and my second question would be on provisioning. Like, clearly the first 9 months was very good. Expect the fourth quarter to be the same, or shall we expect some seasonality and maybe more perceived provisioning in the quarter?
Okay. So when it comes to the MREL requirements, here it's important to mention that the subordinated bond which we were issuing back in 2018 is in fact MREL eligible. So more or less we were slightly preparing ourselves in advance when it comes to potential MREL requirements and the extra work to be done in the next 2 years. Can be handled also via the strategy we are going to have with regard to the equity of the bank, and also we might be looking for other instruments in the market, but it's not like we are targeting that to happen now. So most probably with the stuff that we are already having in our books and with let's say, wise management of our equity structure, we are going to be able to meet MREL requirements without facing any kind of difficulties. When it comes to provisions, there you should look a little bit at seasonality when it comes to the level of provisions. Also, for the last couple of years, the fourth quarter was bringing slightly higher provisions, some of them being also connected to the way in which customers' behavior were having the evolution in the first quarter of next year. So this year we were having a similar kind of, way in which provisions were having the evolution fourth quarter versus first quarter of the next year. So compared to the overall level throughout the first 9 months, we would anticipate a higher cost of risk when it comes to the fourth quarter behavior.
Okay, so what is the MREL ratio, just following up, like what is the requirement that you have at the moment?
So in terms of specific requirements, there we don't have like a specific requirement. We do have some recommendations, and looking at those recommendations or analyzing them, we are in the process of preparing our answer to what MREL requirement is going to be meaning in the next 2 years.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Luciana Bubesco. You like to know open.
Yes, hello everyone. Thank you for the presentation. So a couple of quite technical questions from my side. Can you give us some indication on the minorities interest expense in this quarter? Because last year they were not really significant, but I think this year with Victoria Bank they're actually larger. So should we expect something similar to the level in the first half? Then second, related to the recoveries from loans written off, can you disclose how much you still have going forward, or if there's some kind of indication of a trend, is it going to be flattening out in the coming quarter? And maybe last question, do you see any effect of the cross-border payments directive that starts to be applied in the fourth quarter? Thank you.
Thank you for all the questions. So, to be honest, I don't have now here with me details with regard to the minority interest expense related to the way in which Victoria Bank is going to have, let's say, its meaning when it comes to the bank's overall picture. I will have to get back to you with those details. When it comes to recoveries from loans written off, there, in terms of, let's say, gross outstanding figure, there we have like 2 billion lei, but, well, it's not like currently we would be having the intention to sell, because, as you know, the tax environment is not helpful in that respect. So that's why we are going to just continue our recovery activities, which is done through one of our subsidiaries, which is specialized specifically on this topic. And then with regard to the effect of the cross-border directive, clearly we, let's say, are preparing ourselves in that respect, and we are taking into account the changes. However, we are trying to mitigate the negative effects coming from the fact that several fees are going to be sealed at certain levels. However, this part of activity was not one of the main growth drivers or the main income drivers for our fee and income position in the bank. So there is going to be an effect, but we consider that we do have the tools to mitigate at a large extent the negative effects coming from this new directive to be implemented now at the, already now at the end of 2019.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. The next question is from the Ogio Hovenlonga. Your line is now open.
Thanks. Good morning. This is Tunde from Hovenlonga. Just wanted to follow up on the question around cost of risk. In Q3, you had some more repayments and recoveries. Can you please maybe disaggregate that, and you know, if you can sort of give us the underlying performance of the portfolio in terms of cost of risk, excluding those repayments and recoveries, that would be very helpful. And what sort of, I know you said 100 basis points is sort of the normalized level you see going forward. Would that be a good assumption for Q4? Maybe 100 basis points? That's my first question. The second is a sort of follow-up on the question on loan growth for the year. You know, you're already around 6% year-to-date. You know, there's an incentive for you to go above 8%. Given the new regulation around taxes, right, and the extra bank tax. Do you see a high probability of you crossing that 8%, meaning just still giving good loan? I mean, able to cross that mark, or you don't see that possibility as of now, given that we're already mid-November, right? Those are my two questions. Thanks.
Hello, this is Omer. I hope you hear me.
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's good, because I'm not included, and I was trying just to be silent partner. But starting with the second question, the idea is that indeed the last quarter of the year usually is a good production year, especially in retail, consumer cards, and micro and small loans. But still, as you said, it's very in November. We remain very slightly below 8%. Although we didn't close the quarter yet, we are not as Mihaela was also saying, we are not trying to take an extra mile just to reach 8%. We are trying to process what we have, the customers that are eligible, but on the other hand, most probably we will be around there, because there is also, I guess, too much talk of foreign exchange volatility, interest rate increases, the global talk of trade war, recession and so on. We see larger customers are closing their loans. This is one of the reasons also in the Q3. As per IFRS model, that and also individually, a couple of big ticket transactions which were provisioned, we have seen that they were fully or significantly reimbursed, that it caused some reversals. We are still at an economic growth cycle, although everybody speaks about it to be slowing down or about to finish. That's why the movement of cost of risk is not, and it's quite, impacted by the good economic trends, spending increase, and quite good recoveries with the economic sentiment improvement. The positive, most probably Mihaela or Georgi can give a more clear result, but even if we take out all the one-offs and this exceptional recovery, our cost of risk will not still reach 100 basis points as we assume. We are going to continue budgeting it, but also on the other hand, we are not expecting a huge jump in the next few weeks, months, in the cost of risk, so that for the whole year it will be stabilized at around 100 basis points. So that we would like to keep more still this prudential approach, conservative approach, and if what half of the analysts and economists are saying will come true, that the economic growth will start slowing down, we will have enough meat on the bone to as a buffer to meet if there will be any increased cost of risk. Thank you. I don't know if Georgia or Mihaela would like to add something.
So just that in terms of, let's say, the gross expense with provisions, we are booking usually like 70 basis points. That was the case for the last 6-7 quarters. So most probably for the fourth quarter we would be around the same level. It depends now on the level of recoveries. If, let's say, the average for the year is going to be influenced and to what extent by the cost of risk to be booked in the last quarter.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thanks. Just another follow-up, and this is not talking about the bank, this is just more about Romanian macro, if you don't mind sharing your insights there. Are you worried about the sort of twin deficit for the country and that causing any sort of imbalance or having a destabilizing effect on, say, the currency and also the business environment? And that's number one there. And then the second one is, do you have any sort of insights or your own focus about the direction of monetary policy rates? Do you think the National Bank would start cutting rates soon, and what sort of magnitude would you anticipate in that case? Thanks.
Again, although this is healthy, we are living very interesting times. Basically, we do not expect National Bank of Romania to come in and to decrease the rates because that would put extra pressure on exchange rate, and we see that this is the hot topic now. Everybody is concerned about, although the increase might be in a very short period of time, it's a rapid increase from 4.74 to 4.77. Still, we are speaking about less than 1% increase for the whole year. So the fluctuation is quite decent yet. But basically, we don't expect more. But on the other hand, how to the twin deficit indeed is a big concern. The good part is that both national bank and both the administration, which is dealing with monetary policy, but also the new government are discussing this, and they are discussing in alignment so that we see after many years a kind of a harmony between fiscal policy decisions and monetary policy part. So that's possibly, we don't know the details, we don't have yet an except the current account deficit. The budget deficit discussions are more of a dark box analysis, but on the other hand, we are almost sure that it will be above 3% threshold. On the other hand, we see more and more voices, both from the political side and from the monetary policy side, that there will be measures taken to slow it down or to bring it back to the levels agreed with the European Commission within the European Union. Sincerely, take it as my personal opinion, but if the budget deficit will be 3.1 or 2.99, I don't think things would change that drastically. Sometimes we are focusing too much on the numbers, leaving the underlying causes out of our results. But I would say that we see quite a strong alignment and cooperation now from both sides. So this is good news. And also, if there will be more positive messages, I'm sure that that will help the market sentiment as well.
Right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
The next question is from Simon Nelly, Citibank. Your line is now open.
Oh, hi. Thanks for the call. Just quickly, costs have been coming down. I guess that's coming from the integration. Can you give us an update on how much more cost savings might be coming, or are you done? That would be my first question. And then my second question just would be, do you have the figure of remaining written-off loans that are off balance sheet that might be worked out over time? Thank you.
Okay, so with regard to your first question, we were mentioning that in fact the majority of the improvements are to be seen already in 2019. So differences between, let's say, third and fourth quarter of 2018, when we were having all kind of integration costs and restructuring costs, versus the achievements during 2019, are going to represent the largest part of synergies. Definitely some improvement in terms of overall efficiency per client, given higher income per client to be achieved, coming from also Bancpost clients, will have positive effects in the future. But when it comes to the cost-saving side, the majority of the synergies were realized or are to be realized and to be seen, comparing the results, especially at the end of 2019 versus those at the end of 2018. When it comes to the loans written off, there the total portfolio of written off are like 2 billion local currency loans. Well, in terms of estimated recovery, it's quite difficult to put a figure on that one. So if you are looking at, that's definitely a very heterogeneous structure of NPLs which are written off there. So retail companies, SMEs, corporate, so all together. In principle, looking at what kind of recovery rates were achieved in the banking sector in Romania should be maybe a hint, recovery rates considering the prices at which different portfolios have been sold. So that might be an indicator of what kind of recoveries we might anticipate on this portfolio as well. But it's rather difficult to come with a figure except for this market comparison.
No, that's helpful. Actually, one other question, if I may. Do you charge upfront fees on consumer lending fees, on consumer loans? Do you charge some kind of upfront arrangement fee when you issue consumer
loans? No, we don't. There is a slight, like, operational kind of fee, but not like an upfront fee on those loans.
Okay, that's all for me. Thank you.
The next question is from Shirley Tu, RBAB. Your line is now open.
Hi, I have three questions. The first one is regarding the market risk. So we can see from the third quarter results, there are significant net gain on financial assets. Can you explain what those are related to and how sensitive is the trading book to interest rate changes? And the second one is we can see the deposit has already exceeded on your annual budget. Can you explain how you're going to manage the excess liquidity given that the loan growth is somewhat lower than the deposit growth?
Okay, so when it comes to the market risk, the first question you were having, I was mentioning that for this year we were continuing the management of the T-bill portfolio in such a way in which we are preparing the structure in terms of currencies, in terms of maturities, in order to offset any kind of potential negative effects coming from the interest rate curve. So here, the 2019, the way in which interest rates were having their behavior, we were definitely preparing the loan book, T-bill portfolio, in order to make sure that we are offsetting potential negative effects coming from either direction in which interest rates might go. We were benefiting a little bit of the fact that interest rates were coming down, but on the other hand, we didn't want it to monetize everything. On the contrary, we preferred to make sure that the portfolio structure is having the right in order to offset potential increases in interest rates in the coming 1 to 2 years. So this is why we have, let's say, a reasonable net gain when it comes to the P&L, and we have also some quite important reserves in the equity coming also from the revaluation of the T-bills portfolio, but which we consider that it's not appropriate to monetize, but it is good to let them be there in order to make sure that the structure of the portfolio is the correct one. In terms of deposits, I was mentioning also while I was having the presentation, it's a matter of how much cash is in fact sitting on current accounts with BT, not sitting. It's having the turnover through accounts in BT, as we are concentrating more than 35% of all the local payments related to economic activities between companies in Romania and also with regard to the state budget. So we are definitely not having a strategy to further increase, let's say, the deposits. We don't have a strategy in terms of wholesale funding. On the contrary, we try to be as, let's say, constructive as possible in order to make sure that our balance sheet is having the right efficiency. And this is also shown by the fact that the net interest margin was kept stable even though we are sitting on significantly more money than the ones which we are requiring according to the growth we are having on the lending side. And again, when it comes to the lending side, we definitely do not want to push for growth irrespective of risk. So clearly we are growing in those sectors and on those products which are in the end not imbalancing the structure of our portfolio and not they are not exposing us to significantly higher risks for the future.
Thank you. That's very helpful. And can I just